I'm Arun Vanigopal. It's The Takeaway. Good to have you with us. St. Louis, Missouri's first black chief prosecutor, Kim Gardner, is suing the city and other, quote, entrenched interests for an alleged racist effort to block her reform agenda.
This is not about a single case or issue facing the city of St. Louis prosecutor. This is the fair administration of justice.
That was Gardner on CBS This Morning last week. Her lawsuit alleges she was sent threatening, racist letters. Gardner is part of a wave of progressive prosecutors elected across the country over the last few years, and her lawsuit sheds light on some of the challenges they face once assuming office. For more on these prosecutors, their platforms, and the barriers they're facing, I'm joined by Nicole Lewis, staff writer at The Marshall Project. Nicole, thanks for coming on the show.
Good to be with you.
Why exactly have we seen so many progressive prosecutors run for office over these last few years?
So over the last few years, there's been a concerted effort by the advocacy community and philanthropists to engage the public and inform the public about how important the prosecutor is when it comes to the full picture of mass incarceration or the pipeline, you know, of sending people to prison.
And certainly even at the presidential level, someone like Kamala Harris has come under scrutiny in ways she might not have in previous cycles.
That's right. And one of the things she has said during her campaign was that back when she was a prosecutor, there was no notion that someone could be both progressive and a prosecutor. And so that was her defense of her record, right? That this concept didn't really start to emerge until recently.
So generally speaking, what are the issues they're seeking to address once they are elected?
So on the one hand, they're looking for ways to keep low-level offenses out of prison, right, to not prosecute them, things like marijuana possession or some forms of retail theft. There are prosecutors that are looking at creating what we call Brady lists, so lists that keep officers who have been deemed unfit to stand trial off of the stand, right? In some cases, we've seen conviction integrity units. And so this is an example where if you have been convicted and you feel your conviction is wrongful and you've pursued all your avenues and all the processes that you could take to get a second review, now the prosecutor can come in and look at your case and determine if you should be, you know, freed. And so those are some of the reforms that we see sort of taking hold across the country.
And what kind of pushback are we looking at nationally?
It's important to sort of break this pushback into two different segments. So on the one hand, across the country, many prosecutors, people don't agree fundamentally with their vision for the office, you know. But law enforcement community may say, by declining to prosecute these low-level offenses, you're making our cities less safe. And on the other hand, what this Gardner case highlights that for a segment of these prosecutors, in particular the black women who are spread out across the country, they're facing a more entrenched, personal, seems racially motivated opposition.
So let's go into depth with Kim Gardner's case. She's essentially suing the city and, quote, entrenched interests for being racist. Could you tell us who the involved parties are and what precisely her argument is here?
She was elected on a platform, right, to address the way that the prosecutor's office has had an outsized impact on the black community in St. Louis, people being sent to prison. And she says, I've been elected to take on this responsibility to look at what I can do to make changes, to make reforms, and that over the course of her tenure, her job has been made more complicated by the sort of entrenched law enforcement establishment. And so there's this whole community around her that she's saying is keeping her from doing what she was elected to do. And one of the things that I thought was so interesting is after she brought charges against the governor, there was an FBI agent who allegedly committed perjury and refused to turn over some tapes, right? So the governor's defense attorney said, you know, well, wait a minute, this is misconduct. And there was a special prosecutor appointed to look into her. That prosecutor is friends with the defense attorney of the governor, right? And so is there a conflict of interest there? That idea of there's some sort of deeper conspiracy going on, you know, not to seem sort of alarmist, but it is just to remember this law enforcement community is historically predominantly male and working very closely together.
Nicole, in general, where do progressive DAs get the most pushback from?
I would say many of these progressive DAs have come under fire from the police unions who just vehemently disagree with their agenda. And in particular, it seems, you know, many of these prosecutors are interested in reining in police misconduct. They're keeping, you know, cops who have been accused of misconduct off the stands, right? They're, in some cases, making those lists public. And so police who, you know, many could say have operated with a lot of latitude, there hasn't necessarily been a ton of consequences when, you know, say, for example, a police shoots an unarmed Black person, you know, they may be indicted but not necessarily convicted. And so these prosecutors sort of represent a real tide change.
So on a national scale, could you give us examples outside of St. Louis where progressive DAs are fighting for reform and how they're doing that?
Sure. There's Larry Krasner in Pennsylvania. He, you know, conviction integrity units declining to prosecute some low-level offenses. There is Marilyn Mosby in Baltimore, Ayala in Orlando. You know, there's Jessa Boudin in San Francisco. You know, a whole slate of people who, what they're trying to do is use the discretion that the prosecutor's office has typically enjoyed now to divert people from prison as opposed to putting more people behind bars.
Now, in the case of certain races, say Tiffany Caban, who ran for the Queens DA on a platform of shutting down jails, that's not just something that would necessarily appeal or concern police officers, but also sometimes communities where they're concerned about crime. Is there a significant pushback from these communities as well?
Pushback from the communities can be slightly harder to measure. You know, it's hard to get a sense. It's not like people are using their public platform to make statements or to pen op-eds. But I think we will see when it comes time for when these prosecutors come up for re-election, right? That if people say, yes, we've basically agreed with this direction that you've gone, then perhaps they'll vote in a way to get this prosecutor back in office. But if they don't, right, we'll sort of see come election season.
Yeah, absolutely. So just how critical are progressive prosecutors for reform in a long-lasting sense?
Prosecutors play a critical role when you think about the criminal justice system, right? There's a reason that we call it a system. There are multiple agencies often working together to think about what justice looks like, how to keep these communities safe. And for a long time, I think many people didn't really understand what a prosecutor did. What role do they play? You know, why are they important? And now we're starting to have, you know, the public is starting to have more information about how much discretion they do have, how they can drop cases or push cases, you know, plea deals, all of these kinds of things. And so what is tricky is that the intentions of the office largely depends on who's in charge. And so it's really up to voters if there's any hope to have some sort of long-lasting continuity or for these agendas that might be trickier to pursue, you know, to be able to play out over years and years, then you have to kind of have a progressive prosecutor in the role over the long term. And so it sort of remains to be seen, you know, what this experiment will generate.
Where it's going.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nicole Lewis is a staff writer at the Marshall Project. Nicole, thank you so much for joining us on The Takeaway.
Good to be with you.